I think it's very ironic that the last 3 weeks, I love God's timing because, again, you guys know me well enough that you know I'm not that organized or that well thought of or thinking that far ahead in so many different ways, but God is. He's always thinking ahead. He knows what's coming today and tomorrow and next week and next year. He knows what's on the agenda in so many different ways, and God has a wonderful way of putting things in just the right order. You know, four weeks ago, when I was looking at love always protects, we looked at the guys. And then last week, we were looking at the idea of love always believes or believes all things, and we're looking at it as Mother's Day. Today is love hopes all things, always hopes. And hope is kind of at the center of graduation, isn't it? It's right at the center of who we are as graduates, because there's this idea of uncertainty of what's coming in the future, and yet we go into that uncertainty with a certain hope, a certain expectation, a certain, oh, joyful, fearful, wonderful expectation and hope. But we've kind of got messed up on what hope is. So let's, before we go any further, let's look at this, because Dan is already anticipating what we're going to do. We're going to read through this passage in 1 Corinthians because hope is a part of love. If you look at the last part, last verse of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it says faith, hope, and love. It says faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. See, but hope is a part of love. It's an intricate part of the aspect of what true love, agape love, God type of love, hope is a part of that type of love. So let's read. In 1 Corinthians, it says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. You see, love is patient, and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love, it says, never fails. Never fails. Love hopes all things, or always hopes. What is this idea of hope? What is hope? Hope is a really hard word to really explain, because what's happened is, in our world, Satan's done a wonderful job, like with so many other words like love and submit and head and all these different words that we looked at over the last several weeks. Satan has done a wonderful job of taking what he intended this word to mean, and Satan has taken and turned it around into something that is almost the exact opposite of what God intended this word hope to mean. You see, when God says hope, when he writes this idea of hope, hope is a joyful expectation of what's to come. A joyful expectation, a confident expectation. It is one of those things, it's like, you know it's going to happen, so I know it's going to happen, so I'm joyful about it, I'm looking forward to it. It's a hopeful expectation of what's to come. But what have we done with hope? What has Satan done with the word hope in our world? How do you usually hear it used? You say, I hope it rains. I hope my taxes aren't too much. I hope this. And what is the connotation or the implication when we use the word hope in our language today? It's kind of like, well, I wish it would happen, but I really doubt it. Kind of like your. This is my balloon. I hope it will fly, but I doubt it. That's what we've got in our minds about hope. Hope in the world today is this idea that, man, it would really be nice, but I really doubt that will happen. But that's not what God is trying to convey when he says, love always hopes. You see, hope is an incredible word that gives us the ability to see into the future, the ability to wonder, the ability to desire, the ability to endure, because that's what hope is all about. It's the ability to endure and see what's coming and know what's coming. Not just hope what's coming, but know what's coming and expect it in joyful anticipation of what God is about to do. Do you realize that the reason that we put hope in this other category of, well, I hope it will happen, is because we're putting our hope in all of the wrong things. All the wrong things. And you know why hope has become this idea of, well, it would be nice, but it's doubtful. Is because all of the wrong things will never, never, and opposed to always, all the wrong things will never bring you full hope, will never meet your expectation. You know, I was watching the video, I got to see the pictures of the kids, and I like what, not just kids, but the grown-ups too, because young adults too. I just love watching that because I love to see the hope in their eyes, that anticipation of what's coming, that desire of what's going on. I'm kind of wondering about Cage a little bit. Where is Valerie and Corey at? Where are you guys at? You're hiding back there. Cage, I'm wondering about you, man, because you got the picture of this big smile and it says girls' locker room right there. You just had me wondering just a little bit. Did you even know you were, oh, man. Corey's like, oh, yeah, we know what we're doing. Absolutely. I love the smile. I love the anticipation. I love looking at Galen. He's in his basketball uniform. And Jay's in his football uniform, you know, and the girls are just beautiful, and they're just beaming with hope. They're beaming with the idea of what's to come and what's about to happen. You know what? And that's a good thing. It's an anticipation of what's coming in the next part of your life. But if you had the opportunity to sit down with your high school people that have graduated or are graduating right now, you would recognize that you shouldn't put your hope in those things that so many people put their hopes in the relationships that they're going to have. Yeah, those relationships are great. They're wonderful. Don't get me wrong. Those are good relationships, and you need to cultivate relationships. But don't put your hope in the relationship with your friends. Don't put your hope in that. Do you hear me? Don't do it. Don't think that high school is going to change all these things, because if you put your hope in your relationship with your friends will eventually, in some way, shape, or form, let you down. Am I lying to them? It's true. No matter how good they are, no matter how much you love them, they're going to let you down. If you're putting your hope in being a big rock star, you know, a big football player, basketball player, that's great. That's a cool aspiration. That's something to work for. I'm not discouraging you. But don't put your hope and your whole high school career on this idea that you are going to be Joe football or Joe basketball or Joe baseball or Joe track runner or Joe whatever. It's not going to happen. Because there's always someone better. Always. You're going to come up against a team that's going to knock you on your keister, that's going to blow you away. And all of a sudden, if your hope is in this dream that I'm going to be this, you're going to find out that you're not all that. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm not trying to knock you down. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. You see, if you're one of those people that are putting your hope in your finances, and I just graduated from college, and I'm going to go get the greatest job ever, and I'm going to make the most money, and it's going to be fantastic, you're going to be disappointed. Amen? Now, hold on. Everyone who knows that I'm telling you the truth, say amen with me, okay? So they hear it and understand it. Am I telling you the truth? Amen. It's not going to happen. No matter how great you think that job is, no matter how good you think the salary is going to be, honestly, it will never satisfy. It will never be enough. Never. Never. If you're putting your hope in a relationship, in your things, in your finances, in your fame, if you're putting your hope in anything, your strength, your wisdom, your power, if you're putting your hope in anything other than God, you'll be disappointed. You see, He is the only one. He's the only one who is able to fulfill what He says He is. He's the only one who is able to do exactly what He says He's going to do. He is the only one who can fulfill all those dreams, all those promises, all those things in your life. He's the only one. I love the passage that Tina read. It was Psalm, I even had it down on my own little list here, Psalm 33, wasn't it? Psalm 33, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me real quick. We'll take a little closer look at it just for a few seconds. Psalm 33. Did you read the whole thing? You just read part of it, didn't you? Just the last part? You just jumped to the good stuff, didn't you? I saw what you were doing. Look what it says if you start at verse 1. And there's so much truth in what's going on here. Because we like to worship other things. We like to put our time and our energy and our resources and all the stuff that we have in things that won't matter, that won't last. There's only one thing that's going to last, and that's our relationship with the Lord. Look what it says, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise Him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to Him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. His unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the water of the sea into jars, and He puts the deep into the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. Did you hear that? The plans... Listen to what's going on. I know this sounds crazy. I know this sounds preachy, but it's true. I'm telling you the truth of what's going on here. The plans of the Lord stand firm. There is no power in heaven or on earth that is going to come against God's power, against His plan. It's Him. He is the authority. He is the strength to accomplish all that He desires, and only Him. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and He sees all mankind. Every one of us He sees. From His dwelling place, He watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is vain hope for deliverance, despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those who put their whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. As we put our hope in You. You want joy? You want peace? You want to find fulfillment in this life, whether you're going from high school, from junior high into high school, or from high school into college, or from college into the world, or even if you're in the world right now and you've got to the point where you're like, there is no joy, there is no peace, there is no hope. You know what? That's because you're putting your hope, you're putting your desires, you're putting your effort into things that are not going to last. You're putting all your energy and your resources into things that really don't matter, that are going to be destroyed. That's going to go poop, because there's going to be a day when the Lord descends onto the earth and it's all going to be destroyed. And the only thing that's going to be worthwhile is the hope that you place in the life that He is going to give you. That's what's going to last. You see, God has a plan for you, and He has a plan that He wants Oh, just take a look at this. Jeremiah chapter 29. And I know I've quoted it so many different times. I love this verse. It's my verse. It's mine. I know he's writing it to the Israelites, but he was writing it to me. Because you know what? In my life, I get so discouraged at times. I get so down because I start getting off track. I start looking at other things. I start putting my energy and my hope in other things. And you know what? When I start doing that, I start getting down. I start getting depressed. I start getting discouraged and angry and frustrated and all these different things. And when I start getting that feeling in my life, I recognize, you know what? I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not doing it, because if I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, I'm not saying everything's going to be great, but I would recognize that there is a hope, there's a future, and no matter what circumstance I find myself in, I know that there's something on the other side, because Jeremiah 29:11 says this so simply and so profoundly. He says, "For I know," this is God speaking to the Israelites, but he's speaking to you, "for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Look what it says, "plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you" what? "Give you hope and a future." But there's something that we like to stop right there. Everyone likes to stop right there. We love to hear, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you." Oh yeah, I want prosper. Give me prosper, I want prosper. "And not to harm you." Yeah, I don't want any harm coming into my life. Keep me safe, keep me healthy, keep me good all the time. That's what I want. I want prosper and no harm. Those are good things. And what else does it say? "Not to harm you. Plans to give you hope." Yeah, I want hope. "And a future." Yeah, I want a future. But look what it keeps saying when it says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." You hear that? You see, this thing of Psalm 33, God's looking down over the whole earth. He's watching every man. He knows their thoughts. He knows their actions. He knows what's going on. He knows what's in the hearts of men. And he's just looking for someone who fears him. He's looking for righteousness. He's just waiting. He wants to fill that promise of giving you a hope and a future. He wants to fill that promise of bringing you prosperity. And I'm not talking prosperity. I'm not talking about filling your pockets with gold or money or giving you big houses or nice cars, because all that is a distraction. What he's doing, he's looking for people who will turn to him, who will pray to him, and will submit to him and say, "Lord, I want to live my life for you." Not, "I want to live my life and you come along and bless me in the process." But he's looking for people who will turn to him and pray to him and open their lives up and say, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to be?" And I'm not just talking about the big things like, "Where do you want me to live?" and "What job do you want me to have?" I'm talking about the little things, the everyday things, the things that you need to listen to God for. Just open yourself up and say, "Lord, who do you need me to call? How can I give some encouragement? Where do I need to go? Who do I need to take a meal to? Where do my finances need to go so that you will be glorified?" Not into some newfangled trinket or toy or piece of junk that's going to rot and build up in my garage. What do you want me to do with what you've given me? I know it wasn't for this stuff, because if it was for this stuff would give me joy. It would give me peace. It would give me satisfaction. I would wake up every day and I would be so glad that I got out of bed because of all the stuff that you gave me, and I would get to use it all. But is that what's happening? It's not, is it? It's because that stuff will never satisfy. Those trinkets will never be enough. It will never, ever bring you the hope and the joy and the peace that God wants for your life. Never. You see, what hope is a joyful anticipation and a knowledge of what's coming. And what's coming? You got two scenarios. You get to choose one or two, A or B, door number one or door number two of what's coming. And that's it. You get two choices. You're not going to Walmart looking at a shelf of all the cereal. You know what I'm saying? You don't have 1,000 choices of what's to come. You have two. That's it. Two choices. You can choose life, life abundant, life amazing, life with God, through Jesus Christ and only Him. or you can choose death. Death. Eternal separation from God. Gnashing of teeth. Eternal burning. Eternal suffering. And the worst part about death and hell is absolutely no hope. No hope of getting to the other side. I can endure some pain. I could endure some gnashing of teeth. I could endure some burning. I could endure some of that stuff if I have just the inkling of hope that it might change. But in hell, there is no hope. There is no possibility. You see, here and now is the time and the place to discover hope. To look forward to life. And when you have hope, when you look forward to life, when you know that there is a hope and a future for you that God has in store for you, you can endure the things of this world. My favorite, I wasn't going to do it, but this, I love this story. I know I've told you like two or three times this story, but I just love this story of the little mouse. You guys remember the story of the little mouse? We got some people that haven't been here, maybe haven't heard the story. I love the story of the mouse because it just reminds me that I can endure all things. I can go through all things. I can keep going if I know that there's something on the other side. You remember the story of the mouse? The scientific study, and this is a real study they actually did. I'm not making this up. I don't know the dime or the dates or who did it or why they did it, but they did this. They took this tub of water. You guys remember the story now, don't you? You might remember this one. They took this tub of water. I don't know how deep it was, a foot deep, we'll say. It only needs probably 8 inches for a mouse. So they took this tub of water, about this big around. I'm making that up too. I don't know how big around it was. Took this tub of water and they took this mouse. This plain old ordinary mouse. And they dropped the mouse in the tub of water. And they put a timer on the mouse as soon as they dropped him in the tub of water. As soon as that little mouse hit the tub of water, you know what he did? He started to swim like any little mouse would. And he's swimming, 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 and he's swimming. And he's swimming over the side, and he's trying to scratch up, get up the side. He can't get up the side. He's swimming all over. He's swimming, and he's swimming, and he's swimming. And pretty soon, he starts slowing down. And he's gone to every side of the tub, because it's a circular tub. And he can't find a way out. And he's swimming, and he's swimming. And after just, I can't remember the exact time, let's say it was like 5 minutes. It was a strong mouse. 5 minutes after swimming for so long, he just gives up. Goes under the water. He drowns. He dies. 5 minutes. Pretty good for a mouse, if you ask me. I don't know if I could swim for 5 minutes without any hope of getting out. 5 minutes. Take another little mouse. Now, at this point in time, you're thinking, these are cruel dudes. They may be, but they got a good point. Take a second little mouse. They drop him in the water. Little mouse does the exact same thing the first little mouse does. He's swimming, he's swimming, he's swimming. His little legs are kicking a little. And he's going from side to side, and he's going around the barrel, and he's trying to find a way out. He's scratching the side, trying to get out, can't get out. And he's scratching, he's scratching. He does exactly the same thing as the first little mouse does. 5 minute time approaching. There's still time in him. 5 minutes is approaching. All of a sudden, the little mouse is starting to give up. They can see it. His little nose starting to go underwater, and they reach down, and they pick up the little mouse. They hold him for 10 seconds. 10 seconds. They drop him back in. Little mouse starts swimming. And he's 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 swimming. He gets to almost 10 minutes. Again, don't quote me on the times here. Gets to almost 10 minutes now. And all of a sudden, he starts slowing down again. And his little nose is starting to go under. He looks like he's about to give up and just about to go under. And right before he does, they reach down and they pick him up. They take him out for 10 more seconds. They hold him for 10 seconds. They put him back down in the water. That little mouse, he starts swimming again. And he's swimming, and he's swimming, and he's swimming, and he's swimming. You know how long that little mouse kept swimming with that same pattern? In fact, his time increased each time. He swam for over 30 minutes. You know what the difference was? It wasn't the 10-second break. The muscles don't recover in 10 seconds. You know what I'm saying? It was hope. It was hope that gave him the ability to endure. It was hope that allowed him to keep going and keep fighting and keep struggling and keep going on. There was hope that he was going to live, that he was going to endure. You see, that's what's missing in our world today. That's why so many people are giving up. That's why so many people are sinking. That's why so many people are drowning. That's why so many people are going under. That's why so many people are committing suicide. That's why so many people are turning to drugs and alcohol and pornography and all these things, because they're drowning and nobody is giving them any hope. All they're being given by the world is more stuff, more things to chase after that give them no satisfaction, that give them no hope, that give them no drive, that give them no reason to really get up in the world and live each day. You see, that's hope. The opportunity of life, real life. And real life has hardship and struggles. But hope makes it endurable, makes it livable. You see, that's what God is. He gives us hope. He is a God of hope. He gives us hope and a future. He gives us a promise of real life. Life that will last for eternity. Life that will be without the pain and the struggles and the hardships. Life that will be about worship and true life. You see, this is just the garbage pen that we're living in, guys. The garbage heap. If you think this is good, you ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing. There's an incredible passage in Romans. Romans 15, and I'm done when I get done with this little passage here. Maybe two. I just love doing that to Steve because he gets a big smile on his face and he gives a big sigh every time I do it. Steve, I actually, if you don't know, when I do that, I always kind of look out of the corner of my eye because Steve always goes. I love you, brother. You're my barometer of what's going on. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Look what it says here. If you're looking for anything else to fill you, and we are, I am, I do. I get distracted, I start looking for other things to give me joy and peace. I do it, and you do too. If you don't admit to it, you're just lying to yourself, okay? We all do it, and I understand that, and God knows that. He gets it. But like in Jeremiah, he says, I'm just looking for someone to come and pray. I'm just looking for someone to turn their heart to me. Just do it. Just recognize what you're doing. Recognize the foolishness of it, the disparity of it. I can't remember. It's like a rat running in a cage. You know what I'm saying? You're getting nowhere with what you're doing. Just recognize what's going on here. And look what he says. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Here it is again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Who wants it? Me! As you what? As you trust in what? In him. You see, as we trust in him, we stop running the race. We start getting so jagged. We stop doing all this stuff that really doesn't make any difference. And we trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when God's hope enters into you, it makes a difference in your life. You can face any trial. You can face any temptation. You know that there's something better on the other side. You know that God is working all things for good because you love him. You've been called according to his purpose, and he's going to bring you out on the other side, and it's going to be all good. On the other side, it's going to be all good. That's hope. That's endurance. And you're not going to find it chasing anything else. You're not going to experience it looking in any other corner, in any other package, in any other relationship. It's not there except in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the only one that can give you hope. Hope that will last. The only one. I say to you graduates, at the end of this, Get it now. Understand it now. Hear it now. And apply it to your life, whether you're going from grade school to high school, from high school to college, from college into the world, into the workforce, into the armed services, wherever you're going, get it now. Turn to Him now. Create those habits now. Because the joy that God will give to you, that hope that He springs up inside of you, becomes the most attractive, desirable, beautiful part of who you'll ever be. It changes you from the inside out. That's hope. That's love. That's what He has for you if you're willing to take it and search for it and call for it. Right now, He's looking down. He's looking down at WCBC. He's looking at the people. He's saying, who wants it? Who wants it right now? Just look up. Raise your hand. Bow your head. Seek me. Desire me more than anything else. And I'll give it to you. Who wants it? I'm done. I know in my life, I love my wife. Kids. I love my job. Most days. But what I want more of than anything else is more of Him in my life. I know that's where joy comes from. I know that's where peace resides. And I know that's where hope gives me the desire and the eager expectation. No matter what's to come.